Hallelujah. I have not been able to sleep. But it's not because anything is wrong. It's just because I'm so excited. When I'm excited, I can't sleep. And this morning, I figured instead of waiting to have a meeting, a short meeting, I'm going to use our time here together to talk to you and reveal to you what the Lord is calling us. And I think also my leadership team, the cluster, and every member in this church that has given their input and prayers. It's been almost 6 months since we've been talking about this, you know, and I thank God for it. I thank God for you guys. I thank God for the wisdom that's in our midst. You know, I am so thankful. And of course, in my head, I'm like, wow, I really would love for PK to be here and Nancy, but you know, they're all the way down in Florida. There's no way I want to ask them. I mean, we talk about maybe sometimes once. Today, we're going to reveal our new name. January 9th, put that on your calendar. We're going to have a dedication. I tell you guys, it's a privilege for me to be your pastor. I love you. I love this church. I dream about it, and I love what God is doing in this community. I'm like, okay, God, you didn't bring me here to maintain anything. You brought me here. You brought me here to build, to see your kingdom come, to partner with the Lord. And I have no other plan but to give God space, room to do his thing. And I pray that you guys would continue to trust the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I love this song. We are the body of Christ. Okay? Jesus is the great shepherd. I will follow him. I'm going to be in his word. I will challenge you. Now, let me tell you this. If you want me to recite the Lord's Prayer for you every Sunday, you might have to reconsider finding another church. But I tell you, if you want to be challenged to be a disciple of Christ, that's why I'm here. I am going to heaven when the Lord calls me or when the trumpet sounds. And I intend to bring everybody who wants to follow Christ with me. I will go. I'm not going to let what happened to Moses happen to me. So you cannot frustrate me. This is my choice. It's my choice. Okay? And I tell you, I haven't been able to sleep just because I'm thinking. My heart is just exciting. I'm thankful that PK and Nancy were in Virginia visiting families and stuff, and I thank God for their sacrifice they made today. They might have to, skip and leave before, but you know what? 43 not hear from them. So, Isaiah 43:19. Open your Bibles. Isaiah 43:19. God says, Isaiah 43:19. God said, I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. I tell you, I know you guys are finding it, but if you find it, let's read it again. The Lord says, I am about to do something new. You see, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. And on a verse like this, it deserves amen. Right? This is like, yes, Lord, this is what you're doing. Even in our own personal life. I pray that this work will begin in you. Because a healthy church members makes a healthy church. A healthy pastor, a healthy leadership team make a healthy church. Because why? The head leads. If I'm not healthy spiritually, there's no way you're going to be healthy. If I'm not healthy in my relationship with my wife, there's no way you will be healthy. If I'm not healthy in my relationship with my children and my neighbors and extended people in my life, you're all in trouble. It's the same thing. If you're not a healthy Christian, we have a sick church. And that's why the church has been sick. But I thank God because he's doing new things. If you go to Isaiah 62, verse 2 and 4, I read, Isaiah 62, verse 2 and 4, the nations will see your righteousness. World leaders will be blinded by your glory, and you will be given a new name by the Lord's own mouth. The Lord will hold you in his hand for all to see, a splendid crown in the hand of God. Never again will you be called. Never again will you be called a forsaken city. Never again will this church be called a forsaken city. Never again will people, listen to me guys, listen, and I'm speaking to your spirit, never again, never again. You're not deserted. Never again you will be called it. We will be called this desolated land. A crazy land. Remember a couple years ago, God gave me a word. He says, my church is not a growing number of people. God's saying, my church. Jesus says, the church I built. It's not this place over packed with a bunch of people. It could be. But the church of Christ is 10 people understanding Jesus. What it means to be in relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's 10 people encountering Jesus on a daily basis. It's 10 people. I mean, you don't come here for mass. This is not mass. Is that how you say it? Somebody told me, you know, I'm going after people, okay? Because when I came here, there are some people that decided after COVID, they're just going to give up. So I'm reaching out to some people, and there's one person that told me, the person says, well, Pastor, you know what? One of the reasons I'm not coming back, it's because we don't see eye to eye. I said, well, what happened? What have I done? Well, then the person said, well, you know what? I love you. I think you're great. But I said, what is the problem? And the person says, well, every Sunday you don't lead us to the Lord's Prayer. So every Sunday, I need to, all right, guys, open your Bible. Let's recite the Lord's Prayer. The Lord, what? That's not even the Lord's Prayer. I was going to say, the Lord is my shepherd. That's Psalm. See, I don't even know the Lord's Prayer. You know, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. You know, and I said, well, how about you? You recite the Lord's Prayer every day on your own. I am here to disciple people. We are here to challenge each other so we could be the salt and the light that this world needs out there. So finally, I'm like, you know what? My brother, my sister, I'm sorry. I bless you to go find another local body. Because here, we are the body of Christ. We are a church who give room to the Holy Spirit. We are a place where we love each other. We accept people where they're at. We forgive. We extend forgiveness. We honor. We live in a culture of honor. We are a spirit-filled church, meaning we're not spooky nor scary, but the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth. It's a spirit of light. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of restoration, restitution. So when you encounter Jesus, anyone who is in Christ, that person has become a new creation, period. So you should see in your life. You should see in your life if you're encountering Jesus. Because you shouldn't be the same person. Your new name will be the city of God's delight. And the bridge. The bride of Christ. For the Lord delights in you. And will claim you as his, as his bride. A couple weeks ago I told you God choose you. I have a couple slides on the screen. Why did God sometimes change a person's name in the Bible? We've talked about this. You know, when God changed a person's name and gave him a new name, it was usually to establish a new identity. Meaning, God changed Abraham's name, meaning high father, Abraham's name, to Abraham, meaning father of multitude. Genesis chapter 17, verse 5. At the same time, God changed Abraham's wife's name from Sarai, meaning my princess, to Sarah, meaning mother of nations. Isaac. Go to the next one. This name change took place when God gave Abraham the covenant. See, that's what we need to understand. We are in covenant relationship with God. God also reaffirmed his promise. His promise to give Abraham a son. Especially through Sarah. And told him to name his son Isaac. Meaning laughter. Abraham had another son, Ishmael. Through Sarah's handmaiden, Hagar. But God's promise to bless the nation through Abraham was to fulfill through Isaac's line, from whom Jesus descended. Isaac was the father of Jacob, who became Israel. His 12 sons formed the 12 tribes of Israel, the Jews. The physical descendant of Abraham and Sarah formed many nations. In a spiritual sense, their descendants are even more numerous. I read in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, it says, all who belong to Christ Jesus, Jew, Gentile, male or female, are Abraham's offspring. So therefore, we are the family of Abraham, right? Remember this song in Sunday school? Father Abraham has many sons. Father Abraham has many sons. You guys remember it? They don't know that song? Please then ask this. Add this song on the list, all right? you guys know this song, right? Right? Yes, you do. Okay, we don't want to sing it, right? Wouldn't that be funny? Sunday morning, Father Abraham, Isaac. You know, God changes Jacob's name, which means supplanter, to Israel, meaning having power with God or struggle with God. This happened after Jacob had taken Esau's birthright and stolen Esau's blessing, fled from his brother to his uncle Laban, married Leah and Rachel, fled from Laban, and then wrestled with God as he prepared to meet Esau. Jacob had tricked his brother, been tricked by his uncle, tricked his uncle, man, and was now going through his brother's territory to escape his angry uncle. He heard that Esau was going to come out and meet him, and he was afraid for his life. That night, Jacob wrestled. I believe when you're desperate, desperation always puts you in a position to see God. Have you ever find yourself in a place where you're like, you know what, God, if you don't show up, I'm going to drown. And I pray that you live your everyday life like this. I don't care what you, I mean, guys, because you have enough food to eat doesn't mean life is right. Be desperate for Jesus. Be desperate for the real wine. Read your Bible. Spend time in the Word. Find Christians that are devoted for the Lord. And befriend them. Talk to them. Be part of a home group. Go to your home group. And you know what happened to Jacob. If I go to the next slide, it says in the New Testament, Jesus changed Simon's name, meaning God has heard, to Peter, meaning rock, when he first called him as disciple, John 1:42. It was Peter who declared that Jesus was the Messiah by revelation of the Holy Spirit. Jesus replied to him as Simon, son of Judah, saying that he was blessed because God revealed Jesus' identity as the Messiah to him. He then referred to him as Peter and said that Peter's declaration was the basis on or rock on which he would build his church. You see, nobody has a church. I don't have a church. PK doesn't have a church. No pastor has a church. The church is the body of Christ, and Christ should lead the church. And Christ has given us his constitution. You know, the principle for the church is the Bible. So we do everything according to the word of the Lord, period. Peter was also seen as the leader of the apostles. Jesus occasionally called Peter Simon at other times. Why would Jesus do that? Probably because Simon sometimes act like his old self instead of the rock God called him to be. You know, this morning was probably the last time literally we'll be like, well, welcome Lansdowne. But sometimes it might slip out of our mouth. That doesn't mean we're not going to, the word's not going to, oh yeah, we're going to Lansdowne Church. But you know what? From today, our name's going to change. But that doesn't mean sometimes you don't refer this body of Christ to Lansdowne. Okay? So there's no bitterness. There's no, oh, after the Lansdowne. No, no, no. There's no bitterness. There's no bitterness. You can still keep calling yourself Lansdowne Community Church. But remember what I said, what it says here. Peter is also often seen as the leader of the apostles, but Jesus occasionally called him Simon. Why? Probably because Simon, sometimes he acts as his old self instead of the rock. Don't look back, you're not going that way. Actually, looking back, going back is not change. Going back, you know, sometimes we want to go back. Seriously. Sometimes you want to go back. There's a season in your life, it was just like so awesome, and you're like, man, I want to go back there. But if you look at yourself now, you're like, praise the Lord, because I'm not the same anymore. Everything I've gone through, God used them to change me, or God used them to build me up. That's what the Lord is doing. God continued to call Jacob. The same is true for Jacob. God continued to call him Jacob to remind him of his past and to remind him to depend on God's strength. So why did God choose new names for some people? Well, God changes the name of people in the Bible to let them know that they were destined for new mission in life. New purpose. New direction. The new name was a way to reveal the divine plan and also to assure that that group of people that God's plan would be fulfilled in their lives. And I think I have, was in my next, our new name here, our new name will be a way to reveal the divine plan God has for us as a community. And this is something for us to be excited. Also, it is this new way to assure each one of us as a congregation that God's plan will be fulfilled in here. And I tell you, I have no other plan but to see this church to function as the body of Christ. It is my greatest privilege. And let me ask you this. Are you ready to see our new name? Yeah, buddy. Are you ready, Xavier? Go for it. Turn it up. I'm going to ask PK to come up from here. So yes, guys, our new name is Restoration Church at Lansdowne. This is your new name. I know some of you might not be excited about it yet, but you know what? It's okay. It's a beautiful thing. Put your hands together as we receive our pastor.
Well, it's good to be here. It's a privilege. Like Ricardo said, we've been up in Harrisonburg the last couple of days with my family. We're doing Thanksmas this year. It seemed to work out that way with some people traveling in, and so now we're headed to Nancy's home, and so we had this great big meal last night. We have a great big meal this afternoon, so we're in between meals, basically. And Ricardo said, hey, I'd love to have you come, and we said, well, let's see what we can do. And so we got up really early this morning and drove, and it's a privilege to be here. Couple of things. I want you to know that this was not my idea. It was not my idea what the name is supposed to be, okay? This did not come from me, and it's not like I'm saying, Ricardo, why don't you name it this or that? I also want to say, he probably won't tell you this. And if you remember it differently, then that's between you. But he, this has been a little bit of a process, as many of you know, about what should we name. And Ricardo said, I haven't told them what I think the name should be. He's just been listening. Is that true?
Yep.
Okay. And so when that begins to happen, I would, want to kind of just point out that, this is a compilation of many of listening. And I feel like the Lord is speaking. And that's important to realize. Now, I want to tell you this, and this is where I'm serious. If you're thinking of this as a rebrand, or we're gonna represent to the community and something new, that can be beneficial in a minimal way. But if that's all it is as an organizational rebrand, you're gonna miss the power.
Amen.
That God has, because, see, it's who we are as God's people.
Yes, sir.
It's not the identity that is on our institution or our organization. Does that make sense?
Amen.
See, you have been restored.
Amen.
You're a people of restoration because God has restored you. He's restored your family. He's restored your kids. Some of them He will restore.
Yes, sir.
He's in the process of restoring. Some of your marriages have been restored. Some of you, your jobs, whatever God has done in your life. And you can all, that's your testimony. That's your witness. It's what God has done in your life. What God has restored. But see, here's what has to happen. You have to see yourself as individuals and as a congregation, as a people of restoration. You have to realize that you have the power and the anointing to be a person or a people of restoration out there. This is not just coming to church and this is the name of the church.
Yes, sir.
This is coming because you're going to get refreshed here, but you are the church here, but you are the church out there. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
You are the church wherever you find yourself with whatever person you find yourself with. And that may simply be a smile. That may be a word of encouragement. That may be leading this person to the Lord. It may be praying for this person to be healed or delivered. Whatever it is that the Holy Spirit has for you to do to minister to that person's life, that's what it means to be a person of restoration. And God is changing your name. I got this impression, I'm just going to submit it with you, that this is a bit of a process. Even though kind of we say, well, we're going to change the name, boom, it's done. But there's something that has to settle in the next basically 3 months. Between now and last part of February, I don't know how long 3 months is, but something's going to settle in your spirit here as a people, as a body. It's going to make sense to you. There's parts of this that make great sense to each and every one of you. There's parts of this you're like, well, I don't know. And then there's parts that God hasn't even revealed that He's going to reveal in the next month,
Thank
2 months.
Lord.
To each of you individually,
yes, sir.
It's going to click. And so I just want to encourage you to continue in the things that God has given. Nancy has a couple of things that she wants to share as we were coming down here. Yes. Ricardo said, if you and Nancy would like to share,
yes.
All right, that's how much time we had, all right? And so I said, well, Nancy, do you want to share? And she said, well, we got a little bit of a ride here. Let me think. Let me pray on this. About 20 minutes later, she said, yeah, I think I have something I want to share. So,
amen. Come on,
Nani. Oh, it's good to see y'all. Ricardo, I really appreciate how you outlined the significance of the name change, because it is very significant. And two of the people he spoke of, the Lord laid on my heart, so very briefly, Abram's name, Abraham was Abram, Sarah was Sarai. And these two people were old, like older than most of Sarasota old, and that's old. That's old.
That's so good. That's a good one.
I just cracked myself up. Sorry. If you ever come down, God bless you as you drive. Okay. They were old. And what God did was so significant, because he gave them, not only gave them a new name, he breathed their life into their old bodies. He put that A-H in Abraham, that Abraham, the H-A, Sarah. He breathed his life into these old bodies and revived them.
Yes.
Okay? He revived the old bodies. He renewed their vision after years of barrenness. Years of barrenness where they had given up hope and tried to help God along, and that didn't go very well.
Come on now.
Years of barrenness. And he restored their destiny. And through Abraham and Sarah, they birthed Isaac, the son of promise. And a new people was formed. God's people, the people of his heart. And I just feel like so significant that God has changed the name. And it's come from a lot of y'all's hearts. It's from the heart of God. This is a people of restoration. And I just really bless you guys and honor you all for the process, your flexibility, your humility, your ability to stay on your face before the Lord and hear his heart, not just about the name, but of who he's called you guys to be.
Amen.
So I bless you.
Amen.
Bless you, Kendra.
Thank you.
Yes. Bless you, Brett Hart.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. Let's stand up. I want you to stand simply with your hands like this. I'm going to pray a blessing over you. I know we're going to do a dedication on the 9th. Nancy and I are planning to be here for that. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for a new name. That you considered us enough, that you loved us enough, that, Lord, your stamp is upon us in a way that says, I'm going to change their name so that they can continue to fulfill my purpose. And so, Father, right now we receive your name and we thank you for it. We receive your identity. Lord, we receive your anointing to fulfill that identity. Lord, we receive the power needed to walk out how you have identified us. And so we thank you. I pray, Lord, that your blessing will rest upon each individual here as a restoration has been restored, but Lord, as a person that you desire to bring restoration to others. Your presence, your anointing, your healing, your deliverance, your power, Lord. We receive that because, Lord, we can do nothing in and of ourselves, but, Lord, we can do all things through you because you strengthen us. And so, Lord, let your blessing rest upon each individual, each family represented here. Rest upon this congregation, Lord. Lord, let your favor be upon Restoration Church of Lansdowne, that you would be glorified in us as a people, and that you would, in your purposes, would be extended and advanced in this place, in this community, in this whole region, Lord. And we give you praise. We give you thanksgiving. Father, I also pray for Ricardo, for Kendra, for their family. I pray that your anointing would be upon Ricardo and Kendra specifically to lead and to embody what it means to be a people of restoration. But Lord, as they disciple, Lord, those you've surrounded them with, that what you've placed within them, Lord, in seed form, would find its fruition in those that they minister to. Father, I pray that you will start that movement, Lord, a spark that would spread, a fire, Lord, that would consume. And we bless you, we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Peter. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Yes. Now you understand why I couldn't do this in a 20-minute meeting, right? All right, Kathy, can you give this thing out? So without vision and purpose, as a matter of fact, it is the word of the Lord. God says, without vision, my people perishing. So this is something, I mean, a lot of the church in our network have adopted. This has been put together by Pastor Kenton. I add some stuff to make it fit who we are according to what I sense in my heart. But this talks about who we are as a church and what we believe as a church. Okay? So please, this, read it. Know it. And then somebody asks you, what kind of church do you go to? You shouldn't be like, No, you should have an explanation. You know, what is the vision of your church? What is the mission of your church? What's the mission? What is your philosophy? You know, so take care of this. Put it in a safe place in your Bible. Know it. You know, and we're going to have some out there for people that come and visit. And this morning, talking about visiting, I want to say welcome to our brother here. I don't remember your name, but you know what? Welcome. I pray that God minister to you today. But let's welcome him. So yeah, there's a card in front of your seat, at your seat. If you want to fill it out, if you want to know more about us, you're welcome to do that. So everybody has one? So this would be, let's go to page one. Our mission as a church. What is it? Oops, I forgot my eyes down there. Tell you, it's not nice, but I thank God for it. Our mission is to make more and better disciples of Jesus Christ. The mandate of Jesus can be summed up in what we call the Great Commission, going into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them to obey all that Jesus commanded, and that the great commandment, love the Lord with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. To lead people to Christ and teach them his ways is the mission we share with the church worldwide. See, I'm not going to comment on all these because I would be here for a couple hours. Because each of these is a sermon point. Okay? That's our mission as a church. What's our vision? Our vision is to experience church like we read in the Bible. This is it. Our mission, our vision is to experience church like we read it in the Bible. You know? So if anybody have any other plan, please, God bless you. But I pray all of us here, you understand this church, God puts us together for a greater purpose than to have a service on Sunday morning. We're not here to offer mass. We're here to disciple. You know, the church we read about in the Bible sets the example for the way we are to live our lives together under the lordship of Jesus Christ. While culture expression may differ, the call to live a radical lifestyle in obedience to the principles, this is it, to the principles of the Bible and by the power of the Holy Spirit is the same. See, we live by the principles of the Bible, not what the culture says. Okay? So what is our model as a church? Acts 2:42, that's why we encourage you to be in, to be involved in a home group. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the bread, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Remember, next Sunday, we're having breakfast. Okay? Come in your comfy clothes, and we're having church. But, you know, some people, they're so religious. I pray that God will blow the backs of your religion. You know, it's crazy. When you're religious, you become stiff. The Lord has no room. You know, when we come together, we come to have church. We are the church, not the building. We are. So we're going to, when you come next Sunday, we're going to spend maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes in worship, and then we're going to take communion out there, and we're going to have a good time eating, you know, and we're going to transition in here and watch this movie. You're going to love it. So the first generation church we read about in the Bible devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, training and equipping. This is it. My role is to train you and to equip you, not to just bring you a sermon. I would fail if it would be just for me to bring you a sermon. I want to equip you. I want to challenge you. And of course, sometimes you might not like me. But I tell you, I love you. You remember your parents? You know, I heard somebody says, well, they'll get it either when they're older or when I'm gone. You know, some of you, maybe your parents are not with you anymore on earth, but you're like, you know what? Now I get it. Or some of you, now you're older, you're like, man, Mom, I think I saw a note somebody at someone's house. Their kids wrote, Mom, now I get it. It's the same thing. As your pastor, I'm here to challenge you. I'm here to love you. I'm going to love you. And I don't care if you love me, but I will love you, and I will tell you the truth. To train and equip and to fellowship ministry to one another. In our home groups, we're vulnerable in our home groups. In my home group, I lead a home group, and everybody knows me a lot better in my home group than those of you that only see me on Sunday morning. Because if I go in my home group and I'm having a crappy day, I just tell everybody, you know what, this is what's going on. If I need prayer, I sit in the middle and they pray for me. Don't let any preacher that makes you think they're already in heaven. They're not. Okay? You know, I know the whole different religion, you know, like either the priest or the pastor, you know, they've got this, everybody think they're up there. No, we're not up there. As a matter of fact, if we're not careful, you might go, we miss it. You know how terrible it is? So we minister to one another, to the breaking of bread. You invite each other in your home. We eat together in our home group. We worship and we pray. We intercede. Next year, Dan already put a calendar together. Next year, 2022, we're going to have every last Sunday of the month. Last Friday of the month, we're having a worship and prayer night. So next year, there's a lot of things we're going to do. Talking about discipleship. I thank God for Xavier and Peter. Could we appreciate their sacrifice? You know, most of the time we don't say it enough. But you know what? I'm more concerned about Xavier being a disciple and Peter being a disciple than using them for in the past 5 years, getting them sitting back there. I don't want Ryan to be behind that camera 4 Sundays out of the month for 6 months. Right now we're doing a church plant. The Lord's doing new things. So, of course, there's not many of us. So, we have to rotate. That's why I got to be at the foot of the cross, because you're like, well, every Sunday I got to come up here. And I can't just wing it. I got to hear from the Lord. You see what I'm saying? But for those of you that are faithful, I mean, we've got 5 ushers, 5 different people doing usher. Thank God for you. Let's appreciate those people, please. Thank you, guys. You know, and for years, Walt and Dave, they've been doing it. Man, I bet you sometimes you guys don't want to feel like doing it because you've done it. After a while, you're burned out. I mean, and let's not talk about worship leading. I pray Danny's ready. We ask, Lord, bring us somebody to help because we need to rotate. That's why we rotate. You see how the Lord blessed even our team. A lot of us can play pretty much all the instruments. We can rotate, we can sing. You know, we'll give room. So therefore, I tell you, even if there's one Sunday or two, we have no projection. If that's what it's going to take to have Xavier sitting down, just receive, come to church, dude, that's what I'm going to do. Because moving forward, I don't want Xavier to be back there every Sunday. It's not healthy for him. It's not good for him. So if you're here and this is your church, it doesn't matter. You can't do it. We teach you. I teach you. I train you. Moving into the next year, I'm going to do one Sunday a month where we do kids ministry. One Sunday a month. I need two people. And it doesn't matter if you've done it already before. We're not going back. You don't have to know what to do. I will tell you what to do. Once a month. We start with once a month. And if we have kids that month, that Sunday, if people bring their kids that Sunday, it's not the Sunday we've got kids program. Remember, it's not about the program. We're not here to offer any program, but to make sure that you're being discipled. And every participant, and we're going to get to that, every believer is a participant. Oh, our philosophy, love people for who they are. You can read the rest at home. Accept people as they are. Acceptance. You can read the rest at home. Forgive people no matter what. And in this, I'm going to read, Jesus called his followers to forgive each other no matter what may have happened in the past. We are to extend Jesus' forgiveness and our forgiveness to others. Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 6:37 to judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. And let me give you a testimony. And guys, this is how the Lord works. Last Sunday I gave you a story about one of my spiritual son coming out and accusing me for things I have no idea I've done. We fought with that for years. For months. Finally I was like, you know what? I'm just going to take the lowest place and ask for forgiveness. I did. I asked him for forgiveness. After I asked him for forgiveness, the next day he called me. He sent me a text. He wanted to talk to me right now. I said, well, I can't talk to you right now because I'm with family. Well, then he got offended again. So finally, I'm like, you know what? I can't help this guy. Lord, forgive him. Forgive me, Father. I don't know what I've done. I let it go. Wednesday morning, I got a call from him. He talked for 45 minutes. Asking for forgiveness. Just like, everything, you know, and I'm like, okay, I'm like, my heart was just like, yes, Lord. Oh. And I'm listening to him, I'm like, man, I always loved you. I give you so many chances. I said, for many people, a lot of the people we raised up and we listened to their destiny, he was actually the first one I saw. Went and talked to him, but at that time, he told me he wasn't ready. Because he was just messing around, wasting his time. But I said, man, I forgive you once again. I said, please forgive me again. But he asked for forgiveness. There is restoration in the relationship. That's what the kingdom is about. You know? You know, yesterday he texted me. He wanted to talk. I said, yeah, you can call me at a certain time. He didn't call. But today we're probably going to talk. So we are a people, we extend forgiveness. Jesus forgive us. We forgive people. It doesn't matter. And I tell you, even in your marriage or relationship, family stuff, the best thing, Mark Gunger said, you got to know how to press the restart button. Jerry would understand what I'm talking about right now because he works with computer. The new MacBook, they've got something, force quit, right? But you remember back in Windows, I don't know if Windows still does that, when your screen go blank, well, you do blue screen or the computer stop responding. And you do, when in the computer world, you do Alt Control Delete. Alt Control Delete gives you a menu called Taskbar. All right? The taskbar gives you all the programs that are not responding. That's causing your computer to not respond. I mean, to freeze the computer, right? End task. Is that end task? Whatever. End task. So then, but sometimes you get to that menu, you click the program that's not responding or the program that's causing your computer to freeze up. When you press end task, it froze the computer worse. So now the computer is like really freeze. You know what your best option is? The restart button. You push the restart button. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, give each of us here a restart button. That restart button calls forgiveness. And I tell you, it hurts. It hurts to admit you at fault. I mean, you don't have to admit you're at fault, but it's just to be like, you know what? Well, forgive me. Because some people, that's all they need to hear. Even you don't have to try to justify, I didn't do it, I didn't say it. I mean, why can't you understand? You're so dumb and stupid, I didn't say it. And you're trying everything. I've been there, okay? You tried everything to help them understand. Well, when I said it, this is what I meant. They don't get it. Just press the restart button. And once you restart, you press that restart button, hold it for a couple seconds. You're going to hear, that's the hard drive we're starting. And I tell you, it's going to do its thing, and the computer is going to function normal. And that's what we do as the body of Christ. We forgive one another. We extend forgiveness as God's children. We ought to be people of mercy. And this world needs mercy. And if you cannot extend mercy, grace, compassion, kindness, goodness at home, please, you're being a hypocrite. We are to extend forgiveness to those who have hurt and offend us, just as Jesus forgave our sins through his death on the cross. We also are to forgive the sins of others commit against us. So what we believe as a body, as a church, Restoration Church, what do we believe? We believe in one God revealed to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Period. This is what we believe. We believe in God the Father who governs the earth according to his will and purpose. We also believe in God the Son who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin, died on a cross, was buried and raised from the dead in order to provide the way for us to be brought back into relationship with God. You know, this is Christmas, right? Everybody's talking about the birth of Christ. So I'm reading, yesterday I read Luke chapter 1. And I've read it for years. And I got a new revelation when the angels talked to Mary. He said, well, this son, this baby is going to be great. And his kingdom will never end. Those words popped at me. Just like, the kingdom of Jesus will never end. Oh, thank God I'm part of this kingdom. Thank God. I'm a citizen of the kingdom that will never end. It's not religion. And we talk about it, we're driving, you're like, man, Jesus could come back right now. You know, when Jesus returns, it's going to be chaotic. Because I'm thinking, I'm driving, my wife is in the car, Alyssa's in the back, and the three of us, in the trickle of an eye, bing, we're all gone. So what was going to happen to my car? Huh? Well, I guess, yeah. But you know, somehow it's going to crash somewhere. And can you imagine with all of us, with the billions of Christians on the earth? So do not miss that day. Don't miss that day, guys. The Bible says everyone who's got that eager expectation will keep themselves pure. You will keep yourself pure. Not because, well, I'm not gonna offend. No, it's just your lifestyle is gonna reflect the light of the Holy Spirit in everything you do. His kingdom will never end. I'm like, yes, oh wow, His kingdom will never end. That's why I'm not freaking out over the things that are, the world that's going crazy. Do not panic. Because this is not your home. You're not home. You know, we're just foreigners. You're travelers. The will of you is your spirit. You dwell in the body, all right? So live today. And seize every opportunity. So we believe in God, the Holy Spirit. We also believe in the church universal made up of all those who have been called out of darkness into the light, have placed their faith in Jesus for salvation and who believe under His Lordship. So a lot of other Christians, the Church of Christ in Virginia Beach, Chesapeake, we're brothers and sisters. You remember I told you 95% when you studied, 95% of things people talk in the church, we all agree on it. It's just the 5%. You know, some Christians believe they think, you know, they should wear a head covering. Well, have at it. Some people think, you know what? Well, every time you come to church, you should wear a suit. Please! Wear your suit. Other people think they should wear jeans. Come on, let's go, man. Put your jeans on. Some other people that think, well, Sunday is more important. Other day is more important. And when you read the Bible, it says, well, today is the day of salvation. There's one day God called us to cease striving to please Him. The Bible says in Hebrew, it's called today. Today. Today is the day. Enter God's peace. Enter God's rest. You know what? Today, I don't have nothing I can do to make God love me more. And there's nothing I'm going to do that would cause Him to close the door on me. That's the kingdom's gospel. That's the good news. And we believe in it. As the body of Christ, we believe in it. We believe in the Bible as the holy written word of God. And in the Bible is the ultimate authority for what we believe and the way we are to live. You see this, I told you, keep this. Know it. Be excited. Well, what kind of church do you go to? What do they believe in your church? Oh, hang on. I can't remember it, but I have it right here. Always know where you have this. We're going to have this on our webpage. We're going to have this on our Facebook page. It's always available. We also believe in the divine, invisible return of the Lord Jesus Christ in great glory and power to receive into heaven for all those who have personally received Jesus as their Savior and Lord, and to send to hell all those who have not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Now, our values, I'm not going to go over them. I'm just going to enumerate them, and then you go and read the details. There's 12 core values, even for our network. But as a church, these are 12 core values. We value those things. Truth. Community. We fight for relationship. We fight for relationship. I mean, I will always fight for my relationship with you. But then if you choose to give up, then there's nothing I can do. Remember, when you do life with each other, you rub on each other, you hurt each other. But because I understand covenant, when I hurt you, don't go. Now what I'm going to say here, I said it here already. Please, everybody, listen to me, look at me. If I'm talking to PK, I offended PK. PK, as a Christian of ethic, has no right to go tell Nancy. PK should come talk to me. But let's say PK doesn't have the backbone to come talk to me. So then PK go and talk to Nancy. So what Nancy should do is ask PK, why are you telling me this? Why don't you go talk to Ricardo? That's what caused strife, division in the church. And then you know what happened? If Nancy is not careful or is not aware, PK could poison Nancy. Because really, Nancy had nothing to do with what I did to PK. See, you call that poison somebody, or third offense, third people offense, something like that. We don't do that here in our church. If I hurt you, I might hurt you. We're human. We do life. You might not understand where I'm coming from. If it happens, please come talk to me. You hear me? My kid says, when I'm serious, this is how I talk. I can hear them in the background. I know, because it is so serious. It kills the church. Gossips. You know, I said, this is said, we don't gossip about people. We don't talk about people. That's what it says here. Community, we value community. Leadership. And I believe for leadership, this church, we are under the lordship of Jesus Christ, God and the Holy Spirit, and then come PK and Nancy. I thank God for their friendship, for their leadership, their examples, their good people. God has given us to lead us. I thank God for them. Then come me and Kendra. And then I have a leadership team. You know, and I expect my leadership team to live a life worthy of the call. I don't want hypocrites in my leadership team. I expect if you guys are struggling to talk about it, to come to me. Don't pretend. Okay? And it is my responsibility. I'm going around right now asking everybody, how you doing? How's your marriage? How's your friendship? You know? Are you struggling with anything? If I feel there's a tension, I go to Aaron. Are we okay? It's so good. Because this is how we do the gospel, right? It's the hard way. It's the narrow way. The wide way is, you know, everybody, I don't like this. Go find another church. And we'll do church hopping, right? And you never have a good, strong relationship. I thank God that we're not like that. And we don't want to be like that. Life transformation. We value life transformation. If anyone is in Christ, it should be a new that person should be a new creation. There should be change in your life on a monthly basis. You should see it. If you're struggling, whatever you're struggling with, find someone you can trust. Talk about it. You know? Every member is a minister. Oh, I like this. Every member is someone that can minister to someone. That's why I love when Aaron do communion, when Sam does what they do. You know, each of us here, we have when Quinn, you know, do what they do. It's not about me. It's not. It's about us. Worship. We worship. I know some of you, please. Now I'm going to say it. If you like, one day at a time, see Jesus, it's wonderful asking of you. Listen. If you'd like for us to do this song, come talk to me. Come talk to Dan. Don't go back there and have a cow about it. Don't leave the church over that. That's what I'm saying. Say, you know what? I'd love for us to do... I'm serious. Yeah, I say, you know what, Pastor? I'd love for us to do a hymn Sunday. You know what? A Sunday where we just sing hymn. I just want to go back there. You see, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I bet you after the Sunday we have hymn Sunday, the next Sunday we're going to bring our electric guitars out. It might get loud. This is the freedom in the house of the Lord. That's what it's about, guys. It's not about rules. Don't do that. Don't eat that. That makes sense. Worship, prayers. I believe a church that's not, it's almost impossible to be a Christian without prayer, as much as it is impossible to be alive without breathing. A church that's not praying, who's not in prayer, that's not in prayer, is a dead church. I do soaking here twice a week. I minister to the presence of the Lord. Why? It's to keep an atmosphere of worship, an atmosphere of prayer. Moving into the new year, I'm going to change the day. The day I do it. One of the day I'm going to do it is going to be Friday night. I'm not saying you should come, but I'm doing it just maybe to change. I'm going to try it for 3 months. I'm going to do it on Tuesday and then on Friday night. And then once a month, our church, we come together to pray and worship. We come together to pray and be intentional. About once a month, we have a prayer meeting. Let's call it like that. A prayer meeting every once a month, last Friday of every month, moving into 2022. Once a month, we come together. The Bible says the house of the Lord must be a house of prayer. So we're going to make sure that we do that. Giving. I thank God for your faithfulness. Our tithes and offerings support many things of your faith promise. You know? And we ask, we will continue to be good stewards. We will take care of the money. There's accountability. Continue to be generous. If this is your body, your local church, please be generous. We thank God for your faithfulness. Faith. Number 10, the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit has been giving to empower the church to fulfill the purpose and the claim to claim the destiny God has created for us. We are a Spirit-filled church. Oh, I believe in the Holy Spirit. We have nothing without the Holy Spirit. You have no power without the Holy Spirit, as a matter of fact. You cannot overcome a lot of things without the Holy Spirit. So we believe in the work of the Holy Spirit. Like I told you before, Holy Spirit doesn't come and possess you like the devil, the evil spirit. The Holy Spirit gives you self-control, as a matter of fact. It's a gentle spirit. Outreach. I'm open to ideas on how we reach out to our community. And unity. We value unity. Okay, we are a community hosting God's presence, that hosts God's presence. Hosting God's presence through the work and the power of the Holy Spirit is central to all that we are seeking to accomplish. That's why during worship we take time. We give the Holy Spirit time and room to move in each cell group or home group. Celebration service, healing or deliverance session facilitates the Holy Spirit's work and movement in the lives of the individual being ministered to. Hosting his presence requires faith in our part, in believing that God, through the Holy Spirit, wants to move and that he rewards those who diligently seek him and facilitates his presence. Authentical Bible community. Biblical community is like a family. It is a safe place to establish relationship that brings life to each individual, a relationship with God and relationships with one another. Loving people for who they are, accepting them as they are, and forgiving them no matter what they have done in the past or in the present produces a culture where each person is honored. That's why we say our philosophy is love, acceptance, forgiveness, and honor. You see, now we've been saying we are a church of love, acceptance, forgiveness, and honor. If somebody asks you, what does that mean? Right, go exactly right there. Go tell them. Well, this is what it means. That clear? This is when we say it's not just a deep revelation, only me should know it. All of us here should be able to explain it. Every participant carry a carrier of God's presence. All right, I talk about that. So, summary. What are we as a church? When we read in the Bible, we see Jesus as inclusive, welcoming, and connecting with all kinds of people. Jesus met people where they are, where they were. We want to be like Jesus. Can I have a witness? Do we want to be like Jesus as a church? Yes, Lord. We want to be like Jesus, reaching people where they're at. The name restoration comes from a belief that we are all deeply loved by God and through God. You know, PK said, I never told you guys what I wanted to call the church, what I thought what we about. But really, I listened, and what I listened, I mean, I landed exactly where I felt like I wanted to be as your pastor. All the glory to Jesus. He did it. And this explains it. Restoration, when I see the kingdom, I see restoration. It comes from a belief that we are all deeply loved by God. And through God, we can experience hope and renewal. Amen? This is good news. All of us are on a journey. And God wants to connect with us along the way. We live in an age of time where people have forgotten what it's like to be part of a community that loves unconditionally. It's not common to find acceptance these days, right? No, it's not common. That's why people are fighting on social media. Forgiveness is not easily extended. I mean, why? Since when, if I have a different opinion than you, we should become enemies? You know how dumb that is? I don't have to like red. But then, if I like blue, we still can be friends. You're my red friend, and I'm your blue friend. And when we come together, it's a lot of colors. Oh, man. It's not easy to extend forgiveness. And living in a culture of honor is almost unheard of. And I love it that the fact that love, acceptance, forgiveness, and honor, they're a currency of the kingdom. You know, when we encounter Jesus, we encounter love, we encounter acceptance, we encounter forgiveness, and we encounter honor. See, if churches can't even agree on what the most important part of Christianity are, why should I go to church, some people ask? Or even care about Jesus? But here at Restoration, we have pounded, and we talk, our leadership, we talk, the cluster, we talk. We even had a month. I've prayed over this for a couple months. And we got together and we said, let's go home and pray about it. And that's why we decided to keep ministry of the kingdom here very simple. We are a kingdom-minded community devoted to follow Jesus and keeping him at the center of all we do. We believe that the Bible is the word of God that he has given us to show us something of himself. That's why if I want to know Jesus, I got to read the Bible. If I want to know God's word for me, I got to dwell in the word. We cannot try to manipulate, and we will not manipulate the word of the Lord here in this place. If people, and there are people out there that are looking for kingdom-minded people. And when they find us, and when I say when they find us, I'm not saying talking about them coming here. When they encounter you, they'll be like, why are you so happy? You know, you might be in your job, and be like, why are you so different? Even your friends might even get frustrated with you. Why are you so peaceful? I tell you, when somebody asks you this, don't mess it up. Don't be like, well, you know what? This morning I just had a cup of coffee. Hope you don't have 3 glasses of coffee every night. This is an open door for you to be like, you know what? This joy that I have, the Lord has given it to me. You see, this peace I have, it's because I have a relationship with Jesus, man. This is your opportunity. And we pray that Jesus is magnified here in all we do. From our Sunday celebration service to home group gatherings to teaching the Bible and applying his word in our daily life. Jesus has done more for us than we can ever hope or imagine. So, is that clear? And I put some of my favorite verses back there so you can read them. So once again, welcome to Restoration Church at Lenstown. And let's do one song. And we'll call it a day. How about that? All right. Well, let's collect our offerings. That's right. Father, we thank you for what you've done, here today. Bless the hands that are being faithful to your work today. In Jesus' name, amen.